Begin the current daf Masechta this Yuma daf Chaf. We begin 7 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. And finally, we're beginning the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippurim, which begins in the wee hours of the morning. Now, the Mishnah tells us the first Avodah that happens in the day, B'chol Yoyim, Terminus Mizbeach, every single day, which includes the day of Yom Kippurim, they would begin with the Avodah of separating from the Mizbeach. And what that was a reference to was the Trumas Hadeshin, which means literally to separate the ashes, which is the Kohen who was doing the Avodah would take a shovel from the ashes that was there with the pan. He would do it one time, whether a lot of ashes would get on the shovel or a little bit, as long as there wasn't less than a Maloi Kumtzai, a fistful of ashes. And then he would go ahead and he would put it on the eastern part of the ramp. And then we get absorbed in the place where it was put down. As the Pasuk tells us, it says, V'heirim es hadeshen, that you should separate from the ashes, and V'samei es ha-mizbeach, and then you put it near the mizbeach. And we learn that later on, as the Gemara will tell us later on, from V'heirim emem u'kumtzoi, we see that the term V'heirim also says, u'kumtzoi has to be at least a kaimitz of ashes that we take off as a separation from the pile of ashes that there was on the Maracha, which is where the Karbonus, all the different limbs are burnt over there. And that was the beginning of the service of the morning Avodah that started in the morning. Now, when was this done? The Trumas Hadeshen, which was the first thing done in the morning. So every single day, it was done by Kriyas HaGever. It was done by the calling of the Gever, which the Gemara will explain later on. What does the Gever mean? Who is this Gever that was calling out? Oy samachle, or near it, in other words, near the calling of the Gever, Bein Lefan of Bein Lachav, whether a little bit before that or a little bit after that, but that was basically the time when on a regular day, which was closer to the beginning of the daytime, when they would go ahead and do the Avodah Trumas Hadeshen. However, B'Yom Kippurim, but on Yom Kippurim, then the Truma would be done Mechatzais, already from midnight. U'Begalim, and on Yom Tovim, that's Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, would be done even earlier. Be done Me'ashmur HaRishayim, from the first group. And that is, the night is split into three different groups. As the Gemara tells in Masechtas Brachas and Daf Gimel, that the night has three different watches. And the Gemara will explain the reason for all these different opinions, what it is, why on the regular day we start basically when the day is starting by Leis HaShachar. Yom Kippur we do it much earlier in Chatzos. And on the Yom Tovim is even earlier by a third of the night. Now, the Mishnah concludes and says, V'lo yhoise kriyas ha-gever magaz. And that is, as the Gemara will explain, the reason why Yom Tovim we did it so early, because it wasn't even the Kriyas HaGever on Yom Tovim, let's say on Pesach, when the Kriyas HaGever, which is basically the beginning of the day when the caller would call out, the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash was already filled up with Jewish people that were bringing their karbanos. They wanted to be ready after the Karban Tumen was brought, that every single day this Karban Tumen had to be the first thing brought, and then they could bring their karbanos. They're all waiting, it's packed, jam-packed, already by Kriyas HaGever. Hence, they couldn't be doing the Trumas Hadeshen then. They had to be ready, and there were so many ashes, so they did it much, much earlier, already by a third of the night. Now, related to this topic of our Mishnah, which discusses Trumas Hadeshen, the Gemara brings Snan Hasam. We went over there in Mishnah, Masechtas Zvachim. It says, Ivarim Shepaku, regarding limbs that bursted. And because they bursted, they jumped and they fell. Me'al gabi mizbeach. They fell off from the mizbeach. The mizbeach is a large height, and that's where they put the karbonis. And then it bursted. Something burst inside on the fire, and it fell off the mizbeach. So depending when, and generally these things would be burned throughout the night, they varm upadarm. So it depends when during the night that it fell off, if we're required to put it back on. So koyim chatzos, if the limbs or the fats, the sacrificial parts, the zemurim, if they fell off before midnight, then yachse. Then you have to put it back on. And also, related to this, umayelamben, and therefore there's also going to be one would commit a isra of me'ilah by misappropriating if he uses it for his own purposes, if it's before chatzais, because it's still considered kodesh Hashem, you still have to put it back on. And that is because before midnight, it's not considered a term what's called equal. It's not considered consumed. That is, as long as if it's a limb that has something on it still. And therefore, you have to put it back onto the Maracha, which is the fire of where the Evarim HaPadarim are burnt on. Now, since the mitzvahs were not committed yet, in other words, you didn't fulfill your mitzvah yet, hence, because we see you still have to put it back on, so it's still considered Kodshei Hashem. And that's why there's an Issa Me'ilah for someone that has enough from it, because they're interdependent, they're related. If you still have the mitzvah to do it, there's still an Issa Me'ilah. When the mitzvah is done already, as the Gemara will demonstrate after midnight, then there's no more Issa Me'ilah. And that is because La'achar Chatzos. However, if let's say it fell off after midnight, then Lo Yachzer, then you don't have to put it back on the fire anymore. And that's because midnight itself creates this entity of called equal, as if it's consumed, as long as the limb had already had the fire, had already taken hold of the limb. And that is, even if there's still some substance on the limb itself, there's still some meat there, it doesn't make a difference, as Yimo will learn later on. Once the fire had already taken hold of it, and it's already past midnight, then there's no more chiyuv to put it back on. And hence, ve'ein ma'il man, and therefore there's no iser me'ila anymore, if someone's going to have enough from this piece of meat, as Gemara tells us in Masechta Pesachim, daf chav man aleph, that once the mitzvah was already fulfilled, which we're saying it's fulfilled already, you have to put it back on the fire, so then there's no more iser me'ila. And that is because since there's no more necessity for the tzarchi gevaya, we don't call it the term kach Hashem. And that's because the pasuk regarding me'ila tells us in Mayikra Parakeh, says that v'chata b'shkaga mikach Hashem, the sin of me'ila is in kach Hashem. Once there's no more chiva putting back on the fire, there's no more tzarchi gevaya, there's no more in utility for it for Hashem purposes, in other words, to put it back on the mizbeach, it's not called kach Hashem, and therefore there's no iser me'ila. So that's what the Gemara would explain is the criteria regarding something that falls off the fire, depending when, as long as the fire had taken hold of it. If it's before Chatzis, you have to put it back on, and therefore there's Me'ilah. After Chatzis, one doesn't have to. So that the Gemara asks, Minana Mili, how do we know that midnight creates this entity of equal that it was considered consumed? In other words, only if it's consumed do we say it's fulfilled already, but we're saying that the actual midnight creates that. From where do we know that? So Amar Rav, Rav says, Kasav Echad Omer, one pasuk says in Miyikra, Kol ha'layla v'hikter, the entire night, and that it should be burnt. The real words in the pasuk says, Hi ha'ayla ha'moikta ala mizbeach kol ha'layla. It should be on the fire, on the mizbeach, the entire night. So you see that the entire night is the mitzvah that it should be on the fire. So you see that that's what you're doing. Hektar sevarm is the whole night, and that is even what was on the fire. If it bursted, you still have to put it back on the whole entire night. Yet, because of Echad Omer, another pasuk says there right after, Kol Halayla Beherim. The entire night, you should be taking the separation, doing the Trumas Hadeshim. And that is because the pasuk near it says, Belova Shakoyin Midevad, Beherim Es Hadeshim. The Kohen will wear his clothing that he has to wear, and he'll do the Trumas Hadeshim. He'll separate the ashes and take it to the side of the Mizbeach. So now, it sounds like that the term Kol Halayla, which was from the pasuk before when it was talking about doing the burning of the limbs on the Mizbeach, also goes in reference to the doing the Trumas Hadeshen, which would sound like that it's considered equal, it's considered like it's consumed already, that you could do Trumas Hadeshen, separating of the ashes, that is like as if it's not there anymore, as if there's no more substance, is the entire night. And therefore, the contradiction over here is, Haketzad, how do we understand that? Do we say that once the fire took a hold of it, it's already prepared to be able to do Trumas Hadeshen on it? Or do we say no, that to the contrary, the pasuk says the whole entire night it has to be burning, even if the fire took a hold of it? So how do we understand that contradiction of the Pesukim? That is what the Gemara says. That resolves our difficulty in why is midnight separate if it's just the fire is taking hold of it, but it's not fully consumed yet. Why is there a difference between before midnight or after midnight? Because Chelkeyu, the pasuk is telling you to split up the night. Chetzei lahaktar, one half of the night is for burning the limbs, and that is if it's not totally consumed, therefore if it bursts and falls off the mizbech, you got to put it back on to continue the burning. That's the first half of the night. V'chetzei laharama, and the other half of the night is for separating the ashes, that is from midnight and on, we really call it deshen, we really call it ashes, and therefore we see from the contradiction of the psukim that midnight considers and creates this entity of equal as if it is consumed. So therefore, even though in actuality it's really the same, they're both not, if it's totally consumed, so there's nothing here anymore. But we're talking about the fire has taken hold of it. But before Chatzais, we'll apply the pasuk of the whole entire night, you should do the Akhtara. And after Chatzais, we'll apply the pasuk the entire night, you should be doing Trumas Hadeshen. And since they both cannot coexist, you can't be doing the whole entire night burning it, and that is not considering it ashes, and the whole entire night doing Trumas Hadeshen and considering it ashes. So it must be split the night in half, and that's where we get this idea that Chatzais is the dividing factor, and that's why, depending when it falls off, if there's a chiv to put it back on or not, will depend on Chatzais. That was Rav's interpretation. Mas Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana asks on Rav's interpretation of that Mishnah Masechet Zvachim from our Mishnah. We said in our Mishnah, B'chol Yoim, Terminus HaMizbeach B'Kriyas HaGever. Every single day, we would do the Trumas Hadeshen from the time of the Kriyas HaGever. Again, we'll explain Amud Beis what is the calling of the Gever. But however, now whether it was at the Kriyas HaGever or near it, Bein Mulfanov, Bein Malachav, whether a little bit before, a little bit after, that was on every single day. B'yemi Kippur, we said, was Mechatzayis, they would do it much earlier, the Trumas Adashin, was from midnight. Ubir Galim and Yom Tovim on Pesach Shavuot and Sukkot was Mashmur Rishon, was from the end of the first watch, by the end of the third of the night. Now, Rav Kana continues Amud Beis, and this is where he asks his question. Now, V'isal G'day Techivi would think like Rab, that Mechatzayis Doi Raisehi, that from midnight, it's Min HaTayra. In other words, the Torah's interpretation that Rav was giving was that up until midnight, you're only allowed to do Haktara. In other words, if it's not totally consumed, you just have that the fire has taken hold of it. So then we said that Min HaTayra, that's how we're interpreting the Pesukim, you're only allowed to do Hektar, you're not allowed to do the Trumas HaDeshen yet. So then the question becomes, Heicha Mikad Minon, how on the Yom Tovim do we go ahead and then do the Trumas HaDeshen already by a third of the night? And that is, even if the ashes, even if this piece of meat that was burning on from one of the karbanos on top of the mizbeach was very much consumed, but it doesn't make a difference. You cannot do Trumas HaDeshen until the second half of the night. As we said, it's only the first half of the night that can be the Haktara, not the Harama. So therefore, how on Yom Tovim could you go ahead and do it earlier than midnight? If midnight Torah, you can't do Trumas HaDeshen before midnight. And moreover, according to the Gears of Taisus, is V'heichem Acharinan. How can you go ahead and on every single day do it later than midnight? And that is because from our Mishnah was Mashma, that the Truma of every single day was by Kreis HaGever, and around that time. But the question is, Taisus explains, because Rizim Magdim LaMitzvus, just like by the Karban Tumah Shel Shachar, the regular Karban Tumah brought every single day, it was up until 4 hours it's allowed to be brought, and still they would bring it right when the sun would come up on the eastern front, because they wanted to do it the earliest possible that the Torah allows. Here also, why would we say that every single day, according to Rav's interpretation, that from midnight and on you're allowed to do it, why would we wait until Kreis HaGever, which is basically when the day starts, we should do it from midnight, if that's the biblical interpretation of the Pesukim. So therefore, Ella on Rabbi Yechon, rather Rabbi Yechon says, a different pshat, not like Rav. In other words, don't say that the reason why it said in that Mishnah Masechet Zvachim that depending if it falls off before or after is because that the night is actually split up in the interpretation of Pesukim, that half the night is for burning and half the night is for Trumas HaDeshen. Rather, the interpretation of the Pesukim is, to resolve that contradiction, is the whole entire night burning or is it Trumas HaDeshen separating the ashes, is that, truthfully be told, the night is permitted for both. You can do both the burning, which are those that were not fully consumed yet, and you could also do Trumas HaDeshen for those that are totally burnt, that their ashes are ready. And that's not a contradiction. You do burning if it's not totally consumed. You do Trumas HaDeshen if it is totally consumed. Now, but this that the Mishnah Masechet Zvachim made it sound like, that it doesn't depend on either one, that rather it depends on midnight. Midnight will make this term equal, that it's consumed, just by limbs that are neither here nor there. It's not totally meat, which we have to continue burning, and it's also not totally ashes, which you could do Trumas HaDeshen the whole entire night. Rather, it's talking about limbs that the fire has taken a hold of them and hardened them. And where do we see that that would depend on Chatzos? That's not like what Rav had said because of the contradiction of Pesukim, because then you have the questions about, that would sound like Deiraisa. It has to be from midnight and on, which would be difficult on Yom Tov. Rather, Mimashma Shenema, it's because the understanding is from the Pasuk that says regarding the Haktara, again, regarding the burning, we said Kala Laila, that it's the entire night, that it should be Al Maikta, that you should be burning the limbs the entire night. Now, Eini Yudeya Shuhu Ada Boiker, well, if it says that you burn the limbs the entire night, don't I know that you're going to do it up until the morning? We know that night continues up until morning. So therefore, Umat Tamaloyma Ada Boiker. So then, Rabbi Yechonon is saying a different question about, so why does the Pasuk tell you you burn it all entire night up until the morning? Obviously, if you're doing it all entire night, it's going until the morning. So that, the reason why it says the term Ad HaBoker, until the morning, was Ten Boker LeBoker Shalayla. It's telling you to give another morning for the morning of the night. Now, what that means is that, generally, the Boker, the morning of the night, is Alois HaShachar, is when it's when the beginning of the day. Now, the Torah is giving you another Boker, another morning, which means to say, even earlier, that you don't have to go ahead and have the Haktara all the way up until the morning. So now, but it doesn't define clearly the Pasuk, what is this morning of the morning, that earlier than usually. So since it doesn't give you a clearly defined time, you have to say that's a reference to midnight. As elsewhere, the Gemara tells us that when the Torah is not coming to be as vague and ambiguous, it's coming to tell you a clear time. And therefore, the only clear defined time in Halacha that we know of before the actual Leis HaShachar is midnight. And that's where Rabbi Yochanan gets this source for the Mishnah Zvachim that would depend on midnight. Again, those which are totally still around, the meat is still there, you go ahead and you burn the whole entire night. The other pasuk says you do Trumas Hadesh the whole entire night. He's talking about those that are totally ashes. Those that are somewhere in between, in the middle, which the fire has already taken hold of them, that would depend on midnight if one has to return it or not, because we have the extra word Adabaker. Now, Hilkach, based on this criteria that Rabbi Yochanan defined, and that is since essentially, and this is what he was arguing in Rav, that since the whole entire night is permitted to go ahead and do the Trumas Hadeshin for it, for those that are totally ashes already, so therefore the Chachamim had defined the times for Trumas Hadeshin, as it says in our Mishnah, depending on the time of the year. And that is, as our Mishnah said, B'chal Yoyim, every single day where there's not that many karbanas, and there's enough time during the day, even if they were doing Trumas Hadeshin right in the beginning of the day, so in termen as a mizbeach b'kriyas hagever, then they wait till all the way to the end of the night to do Trumas Hadeshin by the calling of the gever, which we'll shortly explain what that is. And that is oisamachli, whether it's near the time of the kriyas hagever, b'milfano, b'milachar, v'sag, it's enough, even if we do it a little bit before, a little bit after, but basically at the end of the night, because we don't have that many karbanas to bring. B'yom kippurim, man yom kippurim, d'ikach chol shel kohen gadol, where there you have to consider the factor of the weakness of the kohen gadol, because he's the only one that has to do the entire avodas of the day. So he has to get it much earlier because he can't go ahead and do everything. He has to pace himself. So avdin mechatzais, so then we do it much earlier. We do it from midnight. Or bergalim and during Yom Tovim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, the nefesh Yisrael, the nefesh karbanos, where there's so many yidden and there's so many karbanos, and therefore, what that means is that there was a lot of ashes on the Maracha, which was the fire, which was where they would burn the karbanos through the night, because there were so many karbanos being brought during the day. Now, and therefore, the avoid the Trumas Hadeshin was a large process, because first they would go ahead and take off the Trumas Hadeshin and take off that one shovelful and put on the side. But they also, additionally to that, they had to take all the ashes from the Maracha and put it on the area, the middle of Mizbech, which was called the Tapuach, which was basically like, as the Mishnah says in Masechtas Tamid, that they would put all the ashes onto this, which would like a, almost like a pile of ashes, like in a, like a form of grapes that were pressed in the gas, which there they would take all the ashes from the whole entire Yom Tov in the middle of Mizbeach, and sometimes, which although the Gemara says that that's an exaggeration, but there were like 300 kor, which are a huge amount of ashes, and therefore they had to go ahead and do it very, very early. Avdin Mashmur Sereshayna, so there the Gemara tells us they would do it from ready from the third of the night, because it take a long time. Take tiny time, like we learned the reason at the end of our Mishnah, that the Mishnah said Lohaisa Kriyas Hagever Magaz, that it wasn't even time yet for the calling of the Gever at Shahisa Azor Malay Misrael, and the courtyard was already packed with Jewish people, and that's to bring out the point that there were so many people. So first of all, they had to already get started after the Karban Tumah, and also therefore there was so much of ashes of all the karbanas, and therefore they had to be starting this process very early so they can get all the ashes from the Maracha onto this Tapuach, which was in the middle of the Mizbeach. So now that we have clarified that Mishnah Masechta Zvachim, and in the process explained our Mishnah regarding why there's different Zmanim for Trumas Hadeshin, so the Gemara asks on a term that we had mentioned before, my Kriyas HaGever. What is this term, the calling of the Gever, which on the regular days when they do Trumas Hadeshin, and that on Yom Tovim, there was already packed Azar at the time of the Kriyas HaGever, what is this term? So this machlokes, Rav Amar Kar Gavra, he says it's the calling of a person, Gever from the term of Gavra, which is that the one that was appointed. On the announcements, he would say, the Kahanim, get up and do your Avodah, as the Brises are going to be quoted shortly, saying this idea. Rav Shila Amar, he says, Kar Tarn Gaila, it means when the rooster calls out. That Gavra could also mean a rooster. And that is the machlokes. Is it when the announcer makes the announcements? That's when they would do Trumas Hadeshin on the regular day. Or when the rooster would start crowing, that's when they would do the Trumas Hadeshin. So related to this machlokes, the Gemara brings an interesting incident that Rav, who his opinion in this machlokes was that it was Kara Gavre, was a person, he was Ikla La'asur Reb Shila. He went to the place of Reb Shila, who he says in this machlokes that it was a rooster. Now, in the place of Reb Shila, no one recognized who Rav was, the great person that he was. They didn't recognize that it was Rav. Now, Lohava Amoira, there wasn't an Amoira, which means there was no interpreter, who generally there was an interpreter that would stand in front of the Chacham, the sage that was Darshan, that was lecturing. Now, the sage would whisper in Lashon Ivris, in Lashon HaKadosh, to the one that was interpreting, and then the interpreter would go ahead and say it in the language of the populace, of the people. Now, when Reb Shila got up to speak, there was no interpreter around. Lamekam alad Reb Shila to go ahead and interpret for Reb Shila. So come Rav ala, Rav got up, no one knew who he was, and he says, I'll interpret for you. V'kam afarish, my kriyas agever. Now, in middle of the drasha of Reb Shila, one of the terms he was telling to interpret for the people was this term of kriyas agever, and he said it in the Hebrew, which is the term that it says as in our Mishnah, kriyas agever. Now, kara gavra. So when Rav interpreted for the people, he says that when the person announces, so Amalei Reb Shila told them, V'leim amar, let the master, in other words, you the interpreter, karatan the gaila, say not that the person calls out, but rather that the rooster calls out, because that was Reb Shila's interpretation, that's his opinion in that term. So Amalei, so Rav responded to Reb Shila, he says, Abuv l'chori zemer, says the flute, which is considered chashiv, for the noblemen, which they appreciate the song that I'm playing with my flute, legardoi loy mekabluminei, and then when he comes to the weavers to sing and to play for them, so for them, they don't appreciate it. It's almost like a beautiful symphony, which the elite like, and you come, you play for some of the commoner, and he's like, oh, what is this? He doesn't appreciate it. Basically, Rav was telling him a mashal, that he said that, I said this interpretation in front of the noble, the great sages of our generation, that what was kriyas hagever, it means a gavra, and no one protested. And now I come to tell you, I'm interpreting for you kriyas hagever, that it's a gavra, and you who you're not on par with these great sages, and you don't accept what I'm saying. So that's the thing, you know, I'm playing for the noblemen, and they think it's beautiful, and you think it's not. As he explained, it says ki havaka imna alad Reb Chiya, when I was in front of Reb Chiya and interpreting for him. Umafarishna my kriyas agever, and when I explain to the populace what does it mean kriyas agever, karagavra, that the person called out, and he didn't tell me anything. And you're telling me that I should interpret it that the rooster calls out and not the person? So Malay, Sir Sheila told him, he says, Oi, Marniu Rav. You're Rav. You Rav, you because you're the one that always is known that you interpret in front of Reb Chiya because he's your uncle. So obviously, if you're saying that you're the one that had once interpreted that you interpreted from Reb Chiya and didn't protest, that means I know you're Rav, the great Talmud Chacham. So Nei Nechmar, sit down. It's not befitting for your honor. You can't be my interpreter. You're a great Torah sage. You should take a seat. So Malay, however, Rav responded to him. He says, No, Amri Inchi. People say the following statement. They say Itigartle. If you hired yourself out to someone, that is, you said for today I'm going to work for you, then put Zamri, then comb his wool. And that is what that means is that any work that he makes you do, even if it seems degrading to you, for example, like combing wool, which is generally a work that women would do, you have to still do for him because you hired himself out for him for that day. He says, so to me, once I started this interpretation for your drasha, I'm going to complete, even if it's not for my honor. Igadami, those say a different version. This is what Rav told him. He says, let me read in a famous statement regarding Kachem that we only elevate in sanctity and we don't demote. What he meant in this context was that it would be degrading for your lecture that I should get down now in middle and let someone lower than me in stature to go ahead and conclude, and therefore I will conclude. So that was a story related to this machlokes between Rav and Reb Shila. Now, the Gemara says, Tanya Kavosid the Rav. And Tanya Kavasid Reb Shila, we have a brisa that seems to support both opinions that regarding what is the calling in the morning, that it could either mean the calling of the person or the calling of the rooster. So the Gemara first says, Tanya Kavasid Rav. We have a brisa that says like Rav. And the Gemara will quote things related to this and say this, but that really the first thing in the brisa is what already supports Rav. It says, Givinu Charas. That Givini, the crier, the one who would make the announcements, Mahoema, what would he say? So therefore you see right away that there was a person that would make announcements in the morning, and that's why, that's like Rav's opinion, that there was a person that would make announcements, and that's when they would do Trumas Hadeshen. So however, the Braisa does tell us, so what did the announcer say in the morning? What was he announcing? So it says, Imdu kahanim lavadaschem, get up. Kahanim, you go to do your service. Levim luduchanim, and Levim, go onto your platform to do your singing. V'yisrolim amatchem, and the Jewish people, who there were different groups of mamadis that would come at different times for your stations. V'hoye kailei nishma b'sholish parsois, and his voice was heard so far, up to 3 parsois distance. And the Gemara brings the story to illustrate this, that Maisa b'Agripas HaMelech, there was this incident with Agripas HaMelech, shoyebobaderech, he was going on the road, v'shama kailei b'gimel parsois, and he heard the sound of Gvini Kar, of the announcer, 3 parsois away. When he came to his house, he gave him gifts. He was so impressed with him that he gave him gifts because of that. However, va'afal pikein, koyin gadol meshubach mene. However, in spite of this, that there was a great feat that he would, his announcement would go three parsers away, the koyin gadol was even greater than him. Dama mar, as the master said, which the Gemara quote later on in the fourth parak, ukvar omar ana Hashem, that it already happened that the koyin gadol had already said ana Hashem, which was one of the phrases that the koyin gadol said in the avodah of Yom Kippurim, that when he would say his vidui on his par, on his bowl of Yom Kippurim, and he would say ana Hashem chatasi, v'nishma kol b'yirichai, that it already happened that his voice was heard as far as Yirichai. V'amar Rabbah b'chanam b'yichanan, says Mishlaim l'Yirichai, from Yishalayim, which is where the Kohen Gadol is in the Beis HaMikdash, to Yirichai, is Yud Parsi, is 10 Parsi. So that's a much greater feat than giving the Karas, who was 3 Parsi. But even more so, v'af agaf t'hoche ikha chulshan, that's in spite of the fact that here by the Kohen Gadol there is weakness, he's fasting. Here, giving the cards, there's no weakness. He's not fasting, and still the Kohen Gadol's voice went further. Moreover, Kohen Gadol, his on Hashem was during daytime, where one's voice doesn't carry as well as it is by daytime, and still it went that far. Whereas in contrast to giving the cards, it's basically by nighttime, and still the Kohen Gadol's voice traveled further. Damar Levi, as Rabbi Levi says, "Neima ein koyli shel adam nishma b'yoyim." Why is it that a person's voice is not heard, does not carry as well during the daytime, k'derech shnishma b'layla, as it's carried, as it's heard at nighttime? So he said, b'mnei galgal chama, it's because of the ball of the sun, shemenaser b'rakia, which it saws its way through the firmament, k'charish hamenaser b'arazim, like a carpenter that saws in the cedars, and v'haychirge d'yayme, and this sawdust of the day, which is that if one looks in the rays of the sun, one can see these little particles, which is like it's the sun that's cutting through the firmament. So this little sawdust in the day, loishme, its name is nothingness. The hind the command of Nebuchadnezzar, and this is what Nebuchadnezzar says, as it says in the passing in Daniel, the whole dairy aren, all the dwellers of the land, kalochashivan, are like nothing. And that's a reference to these particles that are from basically like the sawdust of the sun that cut its way through the firmament. So related to this, and this was, again, this brisa was a riot to Rav, as we said, that it was a person that would make the announcements in the morning. However, later, turn up Banan, learn the brisa, il moli galgal chama, if not for the ball of the sun, nishma koil ha-moinish al-raymi, we would hear the throngs of the people of Rome. And the same thing in reverse. Vil moli koil ha-moinish al-raymi, if not for the sound of the throngs of the Roman people, nishma koil galgal chama, we would hear the sound of the bowl of the sun. And therefore they both neutralize each other. Related, the Gemara said, Tana b'an, learn the Braisa, Shalosh koilis holchin misayfo oil matzayfo. There are three sounds that travel from one end of the world until the other end of the world. Ve'elohen, and these are, you have kol galgal chama, you have the sound of the bowl of the sun. Ve'kol hamoina shorem, you have the sound of the throngs of Rome. Ve'kol neshama b'shosh shal yitzim neguf, and you have the sound of the soul when it departs from the body. Yeshem, as some say, another sound that travels from one end of the world to the other, afleida, also the sound by childbirth. We continue on top of Chafalef Man Aleph, but Yeshem, and some say, afridja, even the plower. What that means is there's a malach, there's an angel that's in charge of watering the ground. That is both the rain that comes from the heavens and then the water that comes from below, from the depths. And he calls to them, as it says in the Pasuk, Tehaim el Tehaim Kairi, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Tainis. Now, there the Gemara says that this malach is it seems like an eglo, like a calf. And therefore it's called radya, which is the term of an ox that plows. So this malach is called the radya, he's called the malach, he's called the plower. That some say that his sound is also heard from one end of the world to the other. However, the Gemara concludes, Uboi Rabbanu Rachman Neshama. However, the Rabban and the sages beseeched mercy for the soul, B'shosho Yetim Nakuf, that at the time when it departs from the body, Ubatlua, and they were Mavatla, they annulled that sound that comes out from the body when it leaves the person. And there again, this was a raya to Rav. Now, the Gemara says, Tanika Basid Rav Shila, then we say we have a Brice that supports Rav Shila also, that he says that Kreis HaGever was that, not that a person called out, that's when they did Trumas Hadeshan, but rather that's when a rooster calls out, and that's when they did Trumas Hadeshan. Because as the Brice says, Hayetzel Derech Kodim Kreis HaGever, if someone goes out on the road before the calling out of the Gever, so then Damei B'Reishai, so his blood is on his head. And what that means is because of the mazikin that are on the road, there's different harmful entities. So So when it means his blood is on his head, it means to say that the sin of his death is his own doing. He's responsible. It's almost like suicide that he killed himself because he shouldn't have been going out at that time. Now Rabbi Yishayahu Omer, he says, Ad sheyishen, it's only if this gever repeated himself. Some say only if he did it three times. Now Ube'eze Tarnagel Amru, and you see the Brisa says clearly that it's a Tarnagel that's the gever. What type of rooster did we say that one has to wait for it to go out on the road either once or twice or three times? That was by Tarnagel Beni, that was by an average Tarnagel, which is not early to call out and it is not late to call out. That would be the criteria when a person has to wait to go out onto the road that he won't get harmed by the mazikin that are there on the nighttime on the road. However, one thing we see is like Reb Shila, the gever is a reference to the term of a tarnagel, and therefore we have a source for both Rav and Reb Shila in their interpretation of our Mishnah that when would be the trumas adeshen of a regular day by the calling out of the gever, that it could mean either a person that would make the nonsense in the morning or a rooster that's also called a gever when he would crow in the morning, when the rooster would crow in the morning, that's when they would go ahead and do the trumas adeshen.